Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited for today's guest because she instantly became one of my favorite humans. We have the CEO and founder of VerseWire, Sherry Saidi, here, who is here to talk about how the company came about, her journey in the music business, and how they're truly revolutionizing what it means for a record label and what they're doing and how they're helping market the artists and just all the help that they're doing. It's truly incredible. So if you like music, if you like hanging out, if you want to learn about some cool new bands, this is the episode for you. So let's get into today's episode. And Sherry, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Colin. I'm amazing. How are you?
Good. Before we get started, I want to jump into talking about music. What song has been on repeat for you lately?
Oh my God. Okay, this is going to sound so biased, but it's not. You know, this mess is from diverse. No, it's actually a girlfriend song, and it's not, you know what? I'm not biased because it's not what I did. But there you go. But it is my current client. I love him very much. It's the song called Plastic. Banger. If you haven't heard it, go listen to Girlfriend's Plastic. Yes. An absolute banger.
What were some of your top artists from last year now that we're here?
Oh, do I have to be honest? Okay. Yeah, I mean, like top artists Spotify told me,
yeah,
or top artists?
I mean, either or. You know, either or. You can do both.
Blink-182 has always been one of my favorite artists, and I'm honored to say that Mark Hoppus is a partner on this. So definitely Blink and their latest album, One More Time, was, I have it on repeat for way too many days. It's fine. Beauty School Dropout, specifically their latest album, Ready to Eat. Of course, Girlfriends. And if I were to name another, I would say All Time Low. They're very, very dear friends of mine, and I've worked with them a lot.
Waitlist so, will forever be a bop.
Oh, wait. Right? And especially, it's like, it's just one of those songs that just takes you back, but also like is still relevant at all times. Because every year, you're like, this time.
Yes. You know? Okay, as we move into... I want to talk about concerts. Like, what were some concerts, it could be recent or from a generation ago, that really you were like, wow, like, this levitated me. Like, this made me feel like we're on another planet.
You know, truthfully, Taylor Swift absolutely blew my mind. Everyone. Yes. Like I'd never seen Taylor live before. And I'm a fan. I'm not, like, a diehard, but I'm 100% like a fan. I respect her as a businesswoman so much. And my friends were diehard Taylor fans, and they were just like, "We have to go to the Eras Tour." And I was like, "Okay." There, and I'm happy as a clam. I have my wine, I have pizza, like I'm good, you know. And then the show starts, and I was just like, "Okay, I get it. I 100% get it." The level of tenacity, we all know putting on a show and putting on a concert for 3 hours is like not an easy task, and just how amazing and streamlined and incredible that show went, and just the fact that she could sing a 3-hour set, that was amazing. So that literally just, my jaw's still on the floor, and it's been a few months. And so that one for sure. One of the most beautiful moments actually last year was when Beauty School Dropout opened for Blink on their tour, and they played Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
It was such a beautiful moment where Mark and I were watching BSD perform. And then, of course, and then Turnstile played Love Turnstile, and then Blink performed, and it was just all of us watching Blink at Madison Square Garden.
Oh my gosh.
After such a successful year, I definitely teared up. So I think it's so funny. I'm sure you can tell my favorite genre with everything, but it's the things that just really stick. It's the appreciation for the artist on stage and just what they're doing, and also just the memories of the people that you're, creating with, that's what it's all about.
No, Eras Tour, I went night two here in New York. Phenomenal, life-changing, best day of my life. And then I saw Blink at Coachella last April. Another Levitate moment. And then I'm seeing them again when they come later on the spring or in the summer. I'm obsessed, excited. Those two life-changing moments.
No, Hunter, I left the Taylor Swift concert going I need, those bracelets. Are mine. And of course, the fans, they were so sweet. They're like, oh, your wrists are empty. I'm like, yes, they are.
You're like, and I'll take that. Thank you.
No, it's just, it's not, touring is also just very hard, and just being at that level and playing in front of those many fans and connecting and just, it's mad respect, but those were life-changing moments for sure.
And then before we get into your current music background business, what was your first job in the music industry that kind of you were like, wait, I love this. I should be doing this my entire life.
So funny story. Oh my God. I hope my parents aren't listening, because now they'll know that I lied. But when I was 16, that's when I started really. That was my first job in music. And I had a lot of friends that were local musicians, and they would play shows, and I wanted to go. My parents wouldn't let me because they were just no, for whatever reason. So I would lie and I would be I'm going to Stacy's house. And then I'd have to go earlier to make up my alibi, because I can't go to Stacy's house at 9. I had to go to our house at 6. So I'd get to the venues early, and I just twiddle my thumbs. And my friends were hey, do you want to help set up the merch table? Do you want to help load in? And then after a few times, they were do you want to just manage us? We need help. And I was cool. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sure I'll figure it out. So that was my first job. And to this day, I don't think I told my parents where I actually was, but now they know. So sorry, mom and dad.
Sorry, guys. No, I love that. And then now fast forward, I want to first talk about VerseWire. How did that come about? What's the genesis with that story?
Yeah, the whole reason why I do what I do, and I don't want to bore you with once upon a time. honestly, my whole thing is I just want to leave this industry better than I found it, And I feel the music industry, there's so many amazing people working in it and so many passionate people, but I feel we're, and I'll count myself 100% as part of this, we're one of the last to adapt to change, or we'll look at something that needs a solution, but it doesn't come from us. For example, why was iTunes built by a computer company? That should have been made by someone within the industry. So my first company, Veeps, was a solution to give power back to the artists for ticketing, right? So now I'm very honored to say that because of what we created, artists have this ability to basically create live stream events at their own disposal, have their own, fan information, commission free, and be able to run that side of their business. And I'm very honored to say Live Nation bought that company and partnered with us. And I didn't want to stop there, because that was one aspect of the music industry that I wanted to go ahead and, create a solution for. But if you really think about it, the pinnacle of the issue that trickles down with everything that an artist goes through is the record label deals that they initially sign, because that affects everyone, right? That affects the managers, that affects how the artist is compensated for their music to then figure out how they're going on tour and basically figuring out what their revenue streams are. And the Veeps of the worlds, the Cameos of the worlds, they're incredible resources for artists to make additional ancillary income. But if we really just fix the root of the issue, which is maybe not the most favorable terms for an artist to sign, then everyone's life becomes easier, then everyone's job becomes easier, right? And I thought to myself, I'm like, man, like the typical traditional model is you're already right off the bat signing your rights away and your work for hire. So if I'm an artist and I want to sign with a label, they own all my work and I'm a work for hire at that point. And I get an advance. And an advance is a very fancy way of saying high interest loan. So for example, I'm just going to use easy numbers. If a label gives you $100,000 as an advance, you don't make them back $100,000 and then you start making money. That $100,000 you're making back from your percentage, and that's typically 15%. So if we do the math, you actually might have to make back $700,000. Oh, and that's assuming additional services and fees and marketing isn't tapped on, which it will be, because you have to work the song. And that's how artists get into the cycle of never recouping and not seeing money past their advance. And if you really think about it, like if I was like, Colin, you want to buy a house? And you're like, sure. I'm like, cool. There's an 85% interest rate. You tell me to go fuck myself.
Like, insane.
And I would be like, yeah, you're right. So I thought to myself, I'm like, wait a minute. Why don't we treat this business? Because every artist I've ever worked with is something, something LLC, right? Or incorporated. And I was like, why don't we just treat them like a business? And why don't we just use the Shark Tank model where I invest in you? I take equity from certain revenue streams, and then I bring in my label services team to build custom tailored resources for you to grow. And I think that every good idea is actually rather simple. Like if you feel like you discovered King Tut's treasure, then that's fantastic. But I think the best ideas are simple. So what I've literally done is I've applied what every other industry in the entire world uses and applied it to the music industry. And that seems simple, right? It seems like a solution that should have already existed, right? It doesn't. And this is why I don't like to call us a label. This is why I call us a VC for artists. Because calling us a label is like calling us a better taxi. Like for example, compared to Uber. Like you wouldn't call an Uber a better taxi, right? Mm-hmm. So they made their own category, so did we. We're a VC for artists and we handle all the label services. We had to, you know, put it to work and make sure that the model actually made sense on a financial level, but also of course on the resources and in, you know, our development level for the artists. So Beauty School Dropout was our first case study. We got going and we were very happily surprised with how quickly the band actually started to, you know, generate real royalty checks within a year of being signed with us with our model. And also the fact they grew from 4 million total streams to 50 million total streams in just a year.
That's crazy.
And that was our case study.
That's crazy.
So literally what I say to everyone is we are the Uber of record labels. We're our own category. We're not a better taxi. We're our own category.
And I feel like you brought up such a good point. Like I feel like a lot of people think when it comes to music, they're like, oh yeah, they instantly start making money. They instantly start doing this. And it's like, no, like you said, no. Like you have to like immediately start earning and it's the mark. Like, you can't, they don't just like hit play, sign the dotted line. They're like, oh yeah, everybody else does the work. We just like have to record music. It's like, no, nowadays you have like social media. So you have to be like promoting it that way. And you have to be like doing totally. the concert phenomenon thing is like a whole nother realm that people like don't even like know the logistics that goes into that.
Totally separate. Touring is a whole other world, but like there are so many levers that you have to pull. It takes a village. There's so many levers that you have to pull in terms of marketing, playlisting, social content, international PR, domestic PR, international radio, internal radio, sync. Like there's so many things that have to be pulled and levered. So oftentimes, unfortunately, I see situations where, for example, artists are signed and it's kind of like, okay, let's see what you got. And it's like, no, that's not how that works. Like, They need support. They need development. They need the right people executing the right things. And it's one of those things where I just feel like I learned a long time ago, like if you see an issue, if you see something that needs to be fixed, you got two options. Come up with a solution or stop complaining. So I've always been like, I think I have a solution. Let me try it. And it worked the first time with Veeps, worked very quickly with Veeps. And it's working now with Versewire. And I'm honored to like really come to you and say that like this is something that's been working. We're now on year two. We also signed Girlfriend shortly thereafter, and we're about to sign some pretty well-known household names onto our roster as well. We started slow just because we wanted to make sure that like we, you know, this new model, because I had nothing to base it off of, you know what I mean? Like I couldn't like, you know, pull previous things that I've looked at or contracts that I've looked at. We literally from scratch developed our own contracts, our own model, our own infrastructure. And now that the playbook is locked in, we're like, let's go. The sky's the limit. Because if we can do that with an emerging artist, like, imagine what we can do with someone a little bit more established.
That's insane. And just, like, how do you – I know everybody listening for, like, okay, well, where do you find the artist? Like, are you guys, like, searching social media, going up in mics? Like, how do you find the artist, like, girlfriend and Beauty School Dropout? Like, how do you do that?
Totally. So we're in a place right now where, I mean, people are coming to us left and right. And we started with an emerging artist on purpose because we wanted to prove the concept. Because, for example, if I signed, like – I'm just spitballing a name, so I just – morning, if I signed a Matchbox 20 and they did well, everyone would be like, well, duh, Sherry, it's them. And I'd be like, fair. So we on purpose wanted to, like, initially sign an emerging artist. And we literally found Beauty School Dropout. Before we signed them, they were playing a show in a corner of a thrift store to 100 people. And myself and my partner, Nick Lippman, who also manages them, were like, there's something here, man. There's something that we have to, like, it was just everything. It was the right attitude, really hard workers. They were multifaceted. They wrote, they produced, their stage presence was insane, even for just such a small area. And you see that hunger, you see the talent, but then you also see that, they have what it takes. And after having done this for about 16 years at this point, I'm aging myself, but, you know what you're looking for, and you know what are red flags. And then we signed girlfriends that are, like, more established. And now we kind of have opened up the gates in terms of people, like, are reaching out to us via email. I'm always looking. I mean, I'm always going to shows. I'm always going to any types of, events to just, like, see someone that someone's saying is, like, an incredible artist. But, you know, we've had, like, stadium sized artists reach out to us asking for, like, an understanding of, like, how, and we're like, oh, we'll tell you. Here we go. And it's so exciting because it's like, it's so simple, but we just haven't applied it to our industry, and it's a win-win for everyone. You know, it's exactly what we've always needed.
And, like, what's that first meeting look like? Like, after the artist is like, hey, like, we're interested. Like, what's, like, the first thing you do? Cause I feel like a lot of times people are like, okay, like, once we get their attention, like, what does it look like? Are they, like, going to hold our hand? Like, what is it, like, that first step that you guys do that's different than, like, a typical, like, label that anybody would go to?
Before we've signed them or once we've signed
like,
them?
Like, once you sign them in, it's like, okay, we're here. Like, what's that first one that, like, are you talking strategy? Like, what's totally. In that first meeting?
I like to listen in the first meeting because what I've also realized is most people don't like being told what to do. Neither do I. And I'm not to tell anyone what to do. Like, that's not, we're partners in this, and I treat the artists like partners, and I ask questions. I ask, especially if they're a little bit deeper in their career, but it's like, what have you liked about your label services so far? What have you not liked? What do you feel like the holes are in your business? Where do you feel like you need the most support? Do you need a lot of support in writing? Can we go ahead and arrange some sessions for you? Do you feel like you're covered there? Okay, you're looking for an executive producer. Okay, let's go ahead and brainstorm. Let's go ahead and set up sessions where you can try out a few and see who you're vibing the best with. Okay, you guys are really looking for brands and sponsors, and, like, you have a very high profile. Great, let's go ahead and look, see what that looks like. What types of people? I don't like to play a guess game because it ends up going nowhere if you do. You know what I mean? I ask a lot of questions and I listen. So I like to understand where that artist is in their career, what their frustrations were, and what their goals are, and where they feel like they need the most amount of help, because it's not a copy and paste. Like, what even artists in the same category, in the same, like, realm, with the same amount of, like, monthly listeners on Spotify could need totally different things. And it's all about listening and understanding what that artist is trying to do and how we can best support it. Because they are the CEOs of their own business. I'm just here to help.
And I feel like that's key, too, because I feel like a lot of times that people are like, okay, like, we need everybody to be this, like, which I feel like was, like, a popular thing in the 2000s. They're like, all right, like, everybody's going to work with, like, this brand or this marketing. It's like, actually, this group, they need a little bit more, like, personal branding before we can even approach them with, like, that. Or, like, this totally. Group really struggling with that. It's like you said, everybody's not the same and their needs are different. So I feel like that is true. Like,
well, it's also one of those things where it's like, know your clients. Because, for example, years ago, I was working with a very high profile artist signed to a major. And, you know, they were trying to do their job. Like, I respect it. But they came up to us with, like, a huge deal with, like, this this protein company, like animal-based protein company. And they're like, yeah, they're offering this much. And I'm like, guys, he's vegan. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so like those, I promised myself when I started something like this, I was like, I will know them in and out and I will understand their goals and what they're trying to do, because I also don't want to waste anyone's time, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm here to win. I'm not here to not lose. And that's what I always say. Like, let's fucking go. Let's figure this out and let's hit the ground running and let's not have any hiccups along the line.
And that's key too. Like you said, like knowing your people in and out, like a lot of times like people are just like, oh, that makes sense. And I know a few artists have gotten in trouble with that where they're like doing speaking like ops for like alcohol brands and stuff. People are like, they don't even drink. Like, what are you doing? That doesn't make any sense.
Like literally exactly that I've encountered. Cause I was in management for 8 years before I started Veeps. And like the amount of times that would happen, I would just be like, all right.
You're like, you know?
I'm like, this isn't very productive. But again, I also think that no one ever shows up trying to do a bad job. I truly believe that everyone is innately good. Everyone is trying their best, but it's like, traditionally there's like 30 artists assigned to one A&R. There are not enough hours in the day to do something like that, to properly really give that artist the attention they deserve and to, you know, like game plan an album cycle, game plan the world, the theme you're building around it. And then also make sure all the, like, it's actually just a very overwhelming thought. And so what we did here at Versefire, which I'm very proud to say, is like my clients do have project managers, and that's very important, like running everything. But the A&R, the one who really focuses on the music and like the melody and the types of people we put in the room, put like our clients in the room with, like from producers and writers, and the visions for like the music videos, like Mark Hoppus plays a huge role in that. He sits with the boys and talks about like, what type of songs are you guys trying to write? How can I help? He sits with the boys and like says, turn up this chord progression and do that. I do not understand any of it. I agree. When we were like brainstorming our first music video, the boys had this idea and Mark was like, no, we should do this. And you know, I would listen to someone that sold 50 million records in my genre. Like, I don't know about you, but like when someone with such an established career that's so respected gives you advice of the type of career you're looking for, like you listen, you know, it's based off of like experience. It's based off of proof. Like he's done what you're trying to do. So there's a different level of respect there. Now the spreadsheets and stuff like that, my team handles. Shout out to Maya. Thank you for keeping me sane. But the A&Ring is so vital and so important. And I always say, I'm like, look, this is the music industry. Focus on the music. If you get that right, then everything else is easier. And of course, like if I'm like, I don't want to be that classic, like, oh, well, we need a hit. But fucking duh. Okay? Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's like, let's get you the tools you need to get the best possible song that you feel proud of, but also resonates with a lot of people. That's a quote unquote hit. Doesn't just come out of nowhere. Well, it takes work. It takes like a lot of A&Ring, which is where Mark comes in. And it's been a lot of
fun. Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing. But I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today We'll even give you $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And I feel like that's true, like, with a lot of artists and stuff. They'll be like, I want mine to be, like, number one trending sound on TikTok, and I want to be blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, focus on making good music, and then from there we can grow. You can't just be focused on, like, I want to have a full headline stadium tour. I want to have the – it's like, okay, let's hone in and zone in on, like, step one first before – like, that can happen, but we can't, like, be – focusing on everything else instead of, like, the music first.
Like, hey, you know what gets you on a headline stadium tour? A great song. Hey, you want to know what gets your song trending on TikTok? A great song. So start there. And it's like, we, and oftentimes, and I don't blame anyone, it's just we have too many tools at our disposal. The barrier entry is minimal because anyone can put a song and upload a song on a DSP these days, which is great, but it also, there's more competition. So what I always remind my clients is, like, look, like, the TikToks, like, the Instagrams, these are tools. Like, these are tools to get your music out to people. Like, don't get too hell-bent on, you know, like, okay, we got to get this song trending on TikTok. Well, if it's a great song and if we have a smart marketing campaign behind it, it's going to move. But think about that, not the other way around, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like oftentimes we get so hell-bent on, like, the quick wins. And I always say easy come, easy go. You want a quick win, it's going to go away just as fast. If you want to build a long-lasting career where you have real fans that are really buying tickets and buying your merch, it's not instant. And anything, you could give me any example of any artist where it feels like it was an overnight success, and I can give you the exact story of what actually happened and how said artist was, like, hustling for 10 years before this one song, for example, rose him to the top. And there's no such thing. Easy come, easy go.
No, that's so true. Like, I remember one of my favorite actors that I liked, and I was like, oh, it seems like they just blew up overnight. And I was, like, talking to someone who was like, oh, I lived with him and we were living in our car and couldn't even afford breakfast for, like, a good minute. Exactly. Like, he rose, like, once that movie, that a certain Marvel movie dropped, that's when he rose. They're like, no, we were broke here in LA for a very long time. Because it's like, people don't see it. Nobody's going to put that on their story. Be like, eating breakfast in my car. Nobody's going to put that on their story. Like,
yeah, like, our social medias are a highlight reel. Like, I'm having a horrible day and I can snap a photo and be, like, grateful, and I am. But, like, you know, you don't actually know. It's their highlight reel. There was actually, it's so funny you mentioned that, because there was, like, this Marvel actor who I was like, man, lucky him. Like, he was young and he got this incredible role. And I was like, it seemed like an overnight success. And I was watching a movie, like, literally a few months ago. And I was like, is that him? 3 years old. And so I'm like, this poor thing has probably been working for 20 years to achieve that type of a role. And meanwhile, over here going like, huh, like, overnight. And I'm like, no.
No, it's insane, because, like, again, like, nobody sees, like, all the work. People are like, oh, yeah, they just, like, came out of nowhere. And it's like, look at their IMBD. They've been working. Like, somebody I just did a deep dive on was Renee Rapp, because, like, everybody was like, oh, Renee Rapp came out of nowhere. She's just, like,
I have the biggest girl crush on her. I love that her. Voice, the everything. Did you watch Mean Girls?
Oh, I've seen it twice.
Oh, I was like, I didn't even know someone's voice could do that. Like, I'm such a big fan.
I love her.
I just want to, like, hug her and then look at her.
I love her so much. And, like, people were like, well, she came out of nowhere. It's not fair. And it's like, you guys, like, sis has been in this realm for a hot minute. Yeah. She did not pop out anywhere. And, like, that's why I'm like, people, like, you don't have to believe anybody. Literally just look up their IMBDs or their whatever, and you'll see that they didn't just pop out of anywhere. Like, people are like, Olivia Rodrigo and all these others. I was like, they've been working for a minute. They didn't just pop out with, like, a hit song.
Right. Also, who cares? If they're talented and they're really good for them. You do that too, then. Like, you know, it's keep your head down and focus on what you're doing. And if you feel like, for example, someone has something that you don't yet and you feel like someone got it a lot faster or it was overnight or something, like, good for them. Be happy for them. Your time will come too. Just work hard.
Yeah, it's like, but their win is not your failure.
Yeah, exactly. And besides, again, no, so because one day someone might say that about you and you're going to be like, like, I've been doing this forever, but then you'll know how it feels. And so just relax. Honestly, the motto for this is relax. Just relax.
A little.
Just fun. Relax and work smart.
Wait, when you said that, it made me think of like relax on a neon pink hoodie. And that made me think of like, how does merch happen? Like, break that down for me. Like, how does that concept work? Do people are like, we need breakaway pants, guys, on this tour? Like, how does that concept come about?
You know, honestly, I've always been very grateful to work with very, very creative artists, like from management to even on the Beep side, because we did a few merch items, and especially on the label side. My clients are funny and they're really creative, and they come up with like the coolest, like silliest ideas. And like, what am I going to say? No, like, they're just, I'm like for me, it's always a chuckle. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, like it's always inspired by like lyrics or something they think would be just funny to just wear on a shirt as you're strolling past because it catches people's eyes. Or, you know, like the traditional, like, you know, album art, like some rendition of it. But I'm very grateful to say that all I do is look at it. I'm like, this is sick. Like my involvement in that is very minimal. Like my clients are just very talented, and they come up with their ideas because, you know, if someone's going to walk around wearing a shirt that says like Colin on it forever, like you want to make sure you're proud of that. So what am I going to say, you know?
Because every time I see it, I'm like, how did they come up with doing like visors for this or whatever? It'll be something just like, and I'm like, this makes sense. And it's like, how does that get from like idea to like on the merch table?
It comes from them sending me normally a voice note of what they want. It turns into a chuckle for me, and then like, okay, yeah. And then I email the merch company. It's so like the things that we've like come up with or done, like, have just been so funny. But yeah, it's their creative ideation. That's really all.
You're like, it's copy paste.
Yeah, for me, it is. I've the only aspect where I'm like, you know, run with it.
And speaking of which, I kind of want to go back to us talking about Veeps, because I know you mentioned that like you guys sold it to Live Nation, and I know you guys had to pivot during the pandemic. Like, can you kind of break down how that idea came about? Like, how you had to really like you guys had to think on your feet and be like, all right, what do we do?
Oh, of course. I mean, like we, you know, this was year two of our startup, right? And we were doing well. We were booking like a ton of like, you know, VIPs on the road, like full on tours. I think we had like 25 tours on sale at one time. We were doing great. And then literally overnight, listeners, I don't know if you could hear that, but I just snapped. But literally overnight, all of our clients were like, we need to cancel this. We need to postpone this. We need to refund customers. And like, we're happy to do it. But we're like, our entire business model was going to go innate for God knows how long, right? We didn't know if this was going to be a few months. We didn't know if this was going to be a year, 2 years. And myself and my partners and Veeps, Bench and Joel Madden and Kyle Heller, we all jumped on a quick call. And we were just like, okay, we need to figure out a game plan. And so we thought to ourselves, we're like, okay, well, we have a ticketing platform. We done the hard part. We created the actual platform to sell tickets, market in your back end, be able to text, you know, fans from your back end, and a text message shows up, like how to withdraw money. It was all like very, very intuitive. All we needed was a video player. And we thought to ourselves, we're like, wait a second. And we asked Kyle, who was our tech guy, we're like, how quickly can you build a video player for us? And he was like, a week. And we're like, we're going to try live streaming and we're going to dominate this. And because we did it so fast, I'm talking March 1st, and our video player was ready to go. It was our own built in. It wasn't YouTube or anything like that. And we were just like, we just kind of like held on. We're like, okay. And I'd never done a live stream before in my life. And all of a sudden I had to be the expert. And I'm like, all right. So I stayed up for days just like researching and Googling as much as I could about like the in and outs and like the different softwares we had to use and platforms. And I went cross-eyed for like a week over it. And we just started. We just like, you can't, like, you're never going to be ready. Just go. Just take the risk. We had nothing to lose at that point. And then we did one live stream, and then two, and then three, and then four. And before we knew it, we grew our team from a team of six to 40, because we had to hire more developers, more people to help our artists, because we were getting clients left and right, because we were the only solution for a hot minute. And the year that was supposed to kill us, we grossed $10 million. We had 3,000 clients and did 4,000 live streams.
Oh my God.
And that included Liam Payne from One Direction, Louis Tomlinson from One Direction, Brandi Carlile, Bob Dylan. We did it. That's
really awesome. We did it, Joe. Oh, we did it, Joe.
I was going to think funny. I'm saying, like, no, we did it. And let me tell you, that was probably the busiest year of my life. And it was exciting. It was scary. It was a lot of uncertainty, but we did it. Because we took a bet on ourselves and we just did the homework and worked hard and worked smart and made a very quick pivot. And that's what I always say. I'm like, look, you're never going to be ready for anything. Just do it. And at least you can turn back and say, at least I tried. But 9 times out of 10, if you work hard and you're just doing something with a good heart, you won't fail, period. It's not you can't, you won't. And I strongly do believe that. So we launched Beeps in 2018. We sold in 2020 at a $30 million valuation to Live Nation.
That's crazy. And I feel like you brought up a good point too. A lot of times people are like, oh, like I'll do this. I'll start that business when I have like this amount in the bank, or I'll start that channel once I get like a new camera, or I'll start on that new album once I can find like new band member. Like, it's like, you have to just start. Like, you're never going to, there's never the right moment. Well, you just have to.
Again. You get to the point where you give yourself excuses and you give yourself passes for those excuses. Let me put it to you this way. I was raised on welfare. I've been working for as long as I can remember. And I've never been afraid of taking a risk because I had nothing to lose. You know, I knew what it was like to have nothing. So, and I was fine. I was fine. And I also think to myself, like, I didn't have a ton of money when I started Veeps. Like, by the time I got my first investment and I moved over to LA, because I was living in DC at the time, I had $80. Not even kidding you. I had $80 in my bank account. And I just laughed because I found it funny. It wasn't funny after a little bit. I was like, this is going to be a really good story someday. So when I started, like, you know, just gathering some money, I finally moved into my own apartment because I was staying with my aunt at the time, just a few months later. And I had just enough money to buy myself a bed, and I stacked up boxes as a nightstand. And I literally remember smiling and going, this is going to be a really great story one day. And that was 2016, not that long ago. So whenever anyone says, like, what if, don't follow the what if with a negative statement. What if it doesn't work? What if I fail? How about what if it does work? How about what if you don't fail? How about what if you succeed? Like, the what if doesn't have to follow something negative.
No, and I feel like that's true. Everybody's always being like, oh, like, I don't know. It could be positive. And it's like, you already aren't doing anything. So, like, you really have nothing to lose.
What if you get?
I'm like, what if you got nothing to lose?
Yeah, you're going to at least you tried. And I don't think there's anything I don't think failure exists. I think it just leads you to where you're meant to go anyway, or you end up succeeding in exactly what you were trying to do in the first place. Like, do you know any pivots we did from the Veeps initial model to like what we ended up, like, you know, running with? Do you know any pivots we did with VerseWire in terms of like tweaking and like, you just have to, that's just called a startup. Like, how many pivots? Okay. This was good. Let's move this. Let's change this person. Let's move them here. Like, let's tweak this in the model. Like, that's just a startup. Like, it's not always going to end up the way that it started. And that's actually very healthy, because that means that you looked at what's working, looked at what isn't, and you made your tweaks. Like, just do it. Like, I swear to God, especially in this day and age with so much, like, so many resources and knowledge at our disposal, like, I just think the universe will always fall in love with a stubborn heart. So be stubborn about it. Be like, no, I'm going to win. Oh, fine. Only 2% of startups succeed. Cool. I'm the 2%. And I 100%, maybe it's delusion, maybe it's whatever we want to call it, but I believe that. And I believed it. And now I'm on my second multi-million-dollar company.
Come on. You have to be Delulu till your dreams come true, Lulu.
Exactly. Whatever you want to call it. Like, I firmly believe that, because people are like, well, did you doubt yourself? I'm like, here and there, sure, but not daily. You know, like, where I'm human. I'm not like, I have a multitude of emotions. And the thing is like, don't avoid those emotions. Go right through it. Process it. Process why you're feeling that way and go right through it. And just keep going. One foot in front of the other. And I think a lot of times, like, to your point, and this is just human nature. Like, you're like, I want the stadium tour. I want 50 million albums. I want the ginormous house. Okay, let's think of the house, right? Cool, that's your goal? Great. Every day lay down a brick. Every day lay down one brick, okay? And before you know it, you'll turn back around and you'll see you have a house. Because every single day you're laying a brick for your future, just make sure it's in the right direction, one foot in front of the other, be your own damn hero, you know? You're going to have it all, but it's not instant. You want a house tomorrow? Cool. It's going to be a house of cards and the big bad wolf will blow it away. You know, you want a solid foundation and lay a brick down every single day. That's how it is. You can't cheat it, period.
And that's the thing. A lot of people are like, they want a shortcut. They're like, you have to do all that. Like, I just want to do this and, you know, have the like yacht and the boat and the BBL.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know what, to each their own. Do what makes you happy. Like I always say, go on with your bad self. Like, do what makes you happy. But there's a reason why cheats don't get you the results you want. Like there's always a catch. I was actually talking to my friend the other day about content creators and influencers, and they were just like, oh, I really want to be one. I think it's just like, it's so easy. And I'm like, do you know how much work that is? Like, it's always an expectation versus reality. You know, even my clients that have to like, you know, do a ton of content for the releases, like it is so much work. The ideation, never mind the whole plan behind it, never mind the actual setup, never mind the filming, never mind the editing, never mind posting it correctly. Like, that's not just a quick run and done. Like, anything that's long lasting takes time and it takes attention and it takes hard work. Like, period. You know?
People are like, I could post pics all day and, you know, post my, like, meals. And it's like, do you know, like, all the equipment these girlies are packing? Like, they're packing. No. Like, the girls at Coachella, yo, they're, like, this one girl, I'm not even kidding, like, she had a full-blown, like, light reflector in her book bag and a tripod back there and was, like, filming, putting it, like, it's insane.
Meanwhile, I'm over here with my front-facing phone camera going, this'll do.
Me looking like with like chin down, like bad.
Yeah, it's none of this is easy. Nothing that actually is sustainable and worth it is easy. So get that out of your head. Just work hard and then work smart. You know, like that's how I always put it. And have fun. You want to know one thing I've also realized is that you can achieve everything you've always wanted, and then you're climbing the mountain and you reach the top of that mountain and you're not happy. Because you were waiting for the end and like you're waiting for this like monumental like conclusion and like it isn't what you expect it to be. Or then you look at the next mountain, you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. I did it. Now I want to climb that mountain. And you're never fully satisfied. And it's like, you know, this is so cliche, but the reason, like, I think cliches are a cliche for a reason. It's because they're, you know, most of them make sense. It's like, enjoy the journey. If I'm over here just waiting for, I don't know, like, it's just that magical ending, like, then what am I doing every day? Like, and your job picks up a good amount of your week, so you might as well enjoy it or find joy in it. And that could be something as simple as just, like, I don't know, like, I romanticize making my coffee in the morning and, like, reading a book before I start my day because I have my boundaries, and that's also very important as well. But I also, like, love days where I'm spending my time with my clients and just, like, ideating some content or like marketing strategies or like listening to me, like I get to listen to music and like work with my best friends for a living. Like it's all in your mindset, and you can completely change the course of your life by changing your mindset. I fully believe that. So if you're doing it with like a peaceful heart and your energy's light, like things work out for you. I promise you that, but it's all in your mindset.
That part. And to wrap us up, for everybody who's like, oh, Sherry, cool, love that you get to like do music, girl, you're so cool, but like I need to make a shift, like what advice do you have for those who are looking at their business and they're like, something, we need to pivot, we need to do a change, but like we're scared, like what advice would you give those like business people?
You know, honestly, I'm not even kidding you. Still, I literally like make sheets and I make diagrams of like, okay, cool. where was I last year and where am I trying to go this year? And what is the break that's not allowing me to get there? Like, write it, like literally pen to paper, write it out. Sit with your partners and brainstorm what you're trying to do. And for example, do you have the right people in each of those departments? Is your business model working? Really look at those numbers and really understand, like, okay, are you net, are you, you know, losing money? Are you net positive? But if you're losing money, is there a bigger plan? Because obviously startups lose money for like a hot minute before they really take off. Like, be honest with yourself, get your ego out of it. I'm like, no, it'll work. And everything's showing you that it's not working. Like, get your ego out of it. Like, if I didn't do that, like, I wouldn't be where I am. And I'm okay. Like, be okay with criticism and be okay with asking people for help. Like, there are so many times where I went to like my mentors, one of which is Kevin Lyman, founder of Warp Tour. I've been bothering that poor man since I was.
Yes.
I would sit with them. And I'm like, okay, this, I'm trying to do this. Like, what do you think? And he's like, oh, you really need to talk to this person. They killed it in their lane on like this company. They can probably give you some advice. Like, I don't have an ego in terms of like, no, I got it. Like, I know what to do. I would love to sit in a room with someone that knows better than me, you know, and be okay with that. Don't let your ego get in the way of like, no, I got it. Okay. There's like, there's no point, you know?
No, there's literally what people there. I feel like that's the main thing. It's like their egos get in the way and they're like, I don't need help. I can do it myself. And I'm like, there's no problem with asking for help.
You don't have to do like, okay, cool. You don't have to. And you're making it harder for yourself. You're frustrating yourself. Sometimes you do need a fresh set of eyes to look at something. And they're just like, oh, this. And you're like, oh, wait, you're right. And I even do that. Like, my business partners, we do that with each other all the time. Just take your ego out of it. Have fun. And everything works out. I promise you. Everything works out. Just relax.
Yeah, I was like, brought to you by Relax and Relax by Marc Jacobs for my.
No, really. Should we do a part? What up, Marc Jacobs?
Sherry, thank you so much for being here today and just dropping so many rose quartz gems on us.
You're so welcome. The pleasure is all mine. And thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Wow, how great was this episode? If you were like me, you probably took a lot of notes and have a lot of questions and comments. So if you do, feel free to add us at Adweek across Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you all. And feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps us. And we can't wait to hear from you all and see you in the next episode. So bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Young Influentials, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens, and edited by Lane McGibney at Bountiful Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.